Welcome back to the couch, everybody. Welcome into another NBA episode. We have the NBA draft special reaction show today, Max. We're going to go through every single pick of the first round. We'll speed through a couple of them. We'll talk longer about the ones that we really care about. It was, you know, a very interesting draft night. Some things went pretty according to plan. Other things went completely off the rails. So we got a lot to get into. How you doing?
Good. The first four picks were like pretty straightforward. And then it just like went crazy. And I feel like this was such a weird, this is just not what I expected this draft to be like. I thought there was a lot of like really dumb moves that happened that I was really surprised by. And I think we're definitely going to get into it. Cause I was like, I know these are smarter people than me, but I don't see what they're seeing. And that was really kind of what highlighted and what was like the highlight of this draft for me was like, this is fucking crazy what some of these teams are doing right now.
Yeah, there was some insanity. I like how you didn't sugarcoat it. All right.
Yeah.
So first pick, obviously Cooper Flagg. You know, good moment. Got to see Maine a lot. All the people back in Maine cheering for him, I guess, was cool. You got any thoughts on Flagg to Dallas?
No, I mean, it's a great fit. Dallas is super lucky. We covered this a lot. Cooper's going to be a really good player. I think we're both extremely high on him. He's such a good all-around guy. He's going to be a plug-and-play guy. I liked him a lot. And then even just watching this whole process and seeing how he handled the spotlight last night, he just was so fucking locked in. I was like, this guy's going to be really, really good. You can just tell sometimes with the demeanor. He was locked in. The moment was not too big. It was really cool to see. He's going to be awesome.
I totally agree. I was so annoyed when they cut to Nico.
That pissed me off when he's on FaceTime or whatever.
He's on FaceTime. He's like yucking it up with some dude on FaceTime. I'm like, oh, you lucky bastard. Yeah. But you know, whatever. The Mavs, I don't think they're going to be amazing this year. Obviously, with no Kyrie, there's not a whole lot of creation going on. But I do think they'll be a good defensive team. And I think, you know, once Kyrie comes back, then we can start talking about just how good they really will be. But yeah, obviously, we're all super high on Cooper Flagg. Second pick, Spurs get Dylan Harper again. Expected it. What were your thoughts there?
Yeah, this is a great pick. I think we love Dylan Harper. And now De'Aaron Fox, it makes him kind of expendable almost, depending on, you know, how Dylan Harper works out, right? But you now have two ball handlers that can't necessarily shoot the ball. And so I think it makes it a little funky with Fox. But I'm not trying to rush this timeline here. I think that's kind of the misconceptions, is like everyone has to be on the same timeline, or sometimes we rush timelines for no reason. You have the potential for a generational player in Wemby. You're going to do what you need to do to make sure that this is right. I think Harper's a great pickup for them. I love the move. And for me, I think it's really interesting because then you can be like, okay, say Fox doesn't work out and he's extension eligible or a UFA at the end of this year, I believe. The 2026 season, I believe. So you can just let him walk in free agency and not feel too bad about giving it up, because you didn't know you were going to get the second pick when you made that trade. But if not, maybe you can trade him and get another assets to build around the corner. Like, there's a lot that they can do, and I think this was the right pick, and I really liked this pick.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I thought, you know, kind of before the draft process, we were kind of tossing around the idea of like, should they just trade for Giannis? Should they throw Dylan Harper and picks at Giannis and just go for it right now? Honestly, the more that I watched Dylan Harper and the more I heard smart people talk about Dylan Harper, I was like, you know what? Why wouldn't you just take the young, you know, potential star talent to pair him with your already super young superstar? And yeah, I agree with you. Why rush to the timeline and throw a bunch of assets at Giannis? Even though that would have been really exciting and would have been great, would have been a lot of fun, and they would have been an awesome team. I think I agree. You have a chance to pair a star point guard with one of the best players in the league in Wembanyama. So it will be weird. Like, Steph Castle, I really like. I think we both really like. But again, he's a downhill player. He's not a great shooter. Fox, downhill player. Better shooter, obviously. But Harper, again, like, better with the ball in his hands. And so it's going to be interesting to see how those guys fit together. But I honestly think all those guys are really unselfish, smart, good basketball players, high field basketball players. So I don't think there's going to be like a super big fit concern or anything. It's just they're not going to be, you know, top tier contenders right away.
Absolutely. Also, you mentioned Giannis. Like, was Giannis even available, actually? Like, that's kind of where, in theory, it's great. Like, yeah, 214 and Steph and whoever to go get Giannis, but it just doesn't seem like Giannis was actually ever available. So, when you're loading up for this, right? Like you're maybe sometimes you're loading up for a star that never comes. So eventually
I
you
would
just got to
find it
make those
hard to
picks.
believe that the Bucks would turn down Harper, pick 14, Castle, and whatever other contracts, and like maybe Vassell too. I would find that hard to believe. Obviously, Giannis never requested a trade, but and Milwaukee never wanted to ship him off necessarily. But if they got some godfather offer like that, I would find it hard to believe. But
Yeah,
either way.
we don't players like Giannis's caliber don't get traded that often, and you GMs are going to keep the sure thing over the unknown most of the time, unless they're trying to buy time for their job. But I mean, like the whole point of the second pick is to draft someone like Giannis, who's like,
Yeah.
insane. So, okay, third pick, Vijay Ejgom. I love this pick. I think this guy fits perfectly with what they're trying to do in Philly, which is kind of weird now because they're kind of going two separate lines here. I actually would like for them to continue with kind of ship off the older guys and keep what they have with the younger core with Grimes and Maxey and McCain and VJ. Like, I think there's something there. And I would like if you could get off the two hardest contracts. They have two of the three worst contracts
Yeah.
in the league with Embiid and Paul George. So easier said than done here. This team is going multiple different ways. They've got a young. You know, they've obviously got a super young core, but then they clearly want to compete and think that they're good enough for a title, I guess. So it's a little bit strange, but VJ is someone that it can play right away, but also is going to need some time to develop as well. So he kind of fits the mold of both of those things. And I just loved hearing from him today. Like I thought his story was so interesting and inspiring. And I loved the moments with VJ, seeing how much this meant to his family and stuff. I thought this was an awesome pick.
Yeah, super emotional. VJ's interview, that was great. But I'm with you. Good fit. I think, the one thing that I'm pretty confident with in VJ is that he's going to be a very high level defender. Some people are wondering, like, will he be able to guard bigger wings? Will he be able to, switch one through three? Can he play small forward? I'm pretty optimistic about that. I think he's athletic enough. I think he's got the frame. I think he's got the athleticism to be able to guard one through three, even though he's only what, 6'4" and a half, 6'5". In terms of the offense, like I don't see the creation upside here, but on Philadelphia, I don't think you need it. I think that what they got is a solid off-ball wing, a good defender, a guy that you hope develops into a really solid off-ball shooter, and a good transition player and a good high feel guy cutting and making connected passes. So I think it's a great pick for the Sixers, even though I don't know if I would have VJ as the third best guy in the draft. I do really like it for the Sixers.
Yep, and so this is where the ace slide starts to happen. At number four, the Hornets draft Con Knipl. What first off, what were your thoughts on Con?
Yeah, I love Con. Like I just said, I think Con is probably a better player than VJ. I think just in a vacuum, I would have Con over VJ on a big board. Incredible shooter, obviously, but also a guy that is not scared to put it on the deck and score one on one when you need him to. He can, he's got the size to put his shoulder into guys and shoot over the top of guys. Really good passer, good cutter, and a smart defender. He's not probably going to be a plus defender, but he is a smart defender. He's not someone that you're going to have to, build your defense around hiding, I don't think. I think he's going to fit right in as a defender and then just add a ton of value on offense. And in terms of the Hornets specifically, again, I love it. I think it's perfect, right? He's going to slide right in. He's a guy who doesn't need the ball. To pair with LaMelo, a really good shooter and a smart offensive player, I think is a nice kind of refreshing thing for the Hornets to get a guy in there who really just has high feel, knows how to play the game, and he's not going to take bad shots. He's just only going to add positively. What did you think of Khan?
Love the pick. Can't wait to go watch him this year, or I guess next year, in Charlotte. I love that him and Brandon Miller are like the adults in the room now because both of those guys are absolute demons. They're super locked in. They're, leaders. They're the antithesis of what LaMelo Ball has been so far with the Hornets in terms of LaMelo has not been super locked in. He plays with a lot of fun, but he's not super, he doesn't appear to be as competitive or cutthroat as those other guys. With Con, he's probably going to be one of the most competitive guys in the room at all times, unless he's with Brandon Miller, who we've heard the same thing about all last season. I like that they're like what Charlotte's doing here. I like that they're bringing the Con Knipl in. I think he's going to be really, really good for this team, and I love this pick for them. He fits in pretty seamlessly with what they have going on. That being said, they are going to literally let up probably like 145 points a night because they're just not going to be
Yeah,
able to guard.
100%.
So
And they traded
it's
Mark
going to be tough.
Williams, which I thought was a good trade, but you're giving
Yeah,
up your
good trade for
center.
them. I mean, we'll cover it a little bit later. You traded your center, so they're I don't know what picks they have tonight. I'm scrolling down here. Okay, they got 33 and 34. So unless that got traded, I don't think it did. Yeah, so far it hasn't been updated that that's been traded yet. I know the Lakers were moving up to get Cockburner, apparently. I'm pretty certain, and I'm crossing my fingers and praying that the Celtics take a big at 32, and then Charlotte has picks 34, 33 and 34 back to back. So I'm hoping Celtics either take Reinaud or Cockburner, and then Charlotte takes the other one. That would make sense why you trade Mark Williams in that scenario then, if you knew you were, well, one, you kind of fleeced the fucking Suns, who attached a first round pick to that move, which we'll get into later. So obviously you make that trade there, especially with, you know, Mark Williams, who tried to trade, failed a physical, and then you're like, hey, you want to have Mark Williams again? Like, that's a little, that's fishy to me. But anyways, I say all that to say that they're probably going to be able to get a center late in
Yeah.
the in this or early in the second round here. But yeah,
Regardless,
still,
though, like
regardless.
Nurk is probably their starting center. And so you're rolling out like,
Holy fuck, I forgot they have
you're rolling out
Nurk.
like, you know, LaMelo,
Dude,
Miller.
wait, listen. Hold on. What if it's, and this is the funniest lineup, LaMelo, I guess Trey Mann, Con, Brandon Miller, and Yusuf Nurkic is like the funniest lineup ever.
Yeah,
Just not a lick of
just
defense.
gonna lose 170 to 160. I mean, I love Musa. Maybe we get Musa some more
Yeah.
minutes. I
Get some
don't know.
Musa
Anchor the
minutes.
defense. I
Hey,
don't
I'm in
know.
for Musa minutes, man.
Yeah. So it again, like Charlotte, if people remember, last year was one of my favorite teams to watch for the first month of the year when LaMelo was healthy and playing well, and Miller was in there and Trey Mann was playing. Like, I had so much fun watching them, even though they're so frustrating and they're so bad defensively, and LaMelo is just a head case at times, but they are so fun to watch, and I think they're going to be even more fun to watch this year. And I liked the pick that they made at the end of the draft as well, which we will get to later on.
Yes.
Pick.
So next we have Utah, number 5, and Ace Bailey, man. He said he didn't want to go to Utah. It didn't work out for him, and he gets drafted. How would you describe the look at it on his face when he got drafted?
Sad. I think he was, it was just, it was like, it wasn't like anger. It wasn't disgust. It was just disappointment and sadness. He looked like a little bit of shock. Like, he did not
Yeah.
want to go there and he didn't think he was going to go there. But I mean, I like it. I like it from the Jazz just being like, hey man, we like you, so you're going to play here.
What are you
Like,
gonna do, sit
you're not
out?
going to tell us that we can't draft you. Yeah. He declined a, workout with them, and they draft him anyway. So I like it. I mean, I don't love Ace as a player. If I was the Jazz, I was gonna say maybe I would have gone Trey Johnson, but honestly, if you're the Jazz, you may as well take the upside swing. So I like it.
Yes, absolutely. Also, Jordy Rozier-Fleming just got drafted by the Suns.
Yeah, I think
They.
we knew that was coming.
Yeah, we knew that one was coming. So Celtics are on the clock here, baby. You're gonna hear our live reaction to the round 2 pick. Which, Jordan, who do you want it to be?
I mean, you mentioned the two bigs. I guess I would go with Reno. He seems really skilled. He's a good mover at that size. He's not a great defender. He's got short arms. He's not going to be an anchor by any means, but I do like the way he moves, and I think he would add a lot offensively. And the Celtics need bigs. Why not take a swing on him?
Like it. I'm in the same boat there. Him or Cockburner, whichever one, even if you can trade back with Charlotte, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Brad
So,
surprised us last night, so we're thinking
yes,
it's a pretty
we'll get
clear
to
pick
that.
in terms of going big. But I
Oh, we'll
mean,
fucking get to that because I have a lot of thoughts on that one.
yeah, but like, I if Brad takes someone that we're not even thinking about, you know, this could get interesting. So we'll
Sure.
keep an eye on it.
Okay. Anything else on Ace? I was fascinated that with this pick. Like, I think it is like a pretty flammable pick, right? Like he's very talented, but his shortcomings are very ugly. He's got some warts on him. He's not starting out his career well at all with how he's been handling this, or his agent has been handling this. And it's really funny that, you know, Utah took him, but I do think like he could potentially be awesome, and Utah is a great place for him. I also think there's going to be like 7 fist fights a night over the ball with him and Keontae George and Larry Markkanen and Bryce Sensabaugh and freaking all the different guys that they have there.
They have so many guys, Collier, Sexton. I mean, you'd think there are going to be some moves made. Like, at some point, Sexton, just someone's going to want Sexton, right? You would think, but
Please. I mean, he deserves to be on a fucking good basketball team. Like, God damn, that guy plays so hard every night and just isn't on winning basketball teams ever. I want him on a winning basketball team.
Yeah, I think honestly the Jazz might be a bit of a tough watch this season.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch a lot of it just to see what they've got, and I think Ace will be fun to watch. Okay, the Wizards, they take Trey Johnson. I don't have too much on this, honestly. He's a great pick. He's a great player. I don't think he has like tremendous, amazing upside, but he's a microwave who can score at will, and he gets added to this Wizards team that needed some scoring. I would have liked Malawach there just as like something interesting, just like as a kind of
Yeah.
a compliment to Sar, but I like this pick. I think this is a good pick.
I think Malawach could have been cool because in theory Sar should be able to space the floor and then you'd have Malawach as the true five.
Yeah.
But I really like Trey Johnson. Like I think he's the best shooter in the draft. I think he's got a really good chance to be a high level starter in this league, and I like what's going on in Washington. I really, you
Yeah.
know, Bub seems like the guy who's gonna get a lot of touches and he's gonna be the creator. They bring in CJ who, you know, instead of Poole, I think is going to be a little bit better, you know, in that slot as a leader, as a guy who's probably not going to take as many shots, even though he will still get his shots. Obviously, Bilal Sarr, you know, we like this young core, so I like what they're building there. They are going to be a team that I keep an eye on to see how those guys all develop because I think they're just making a lot of smart moves and they got a ton of young guys and a ton of young talent. And at some point, you know, you really want to see some of these guys hit.
This is where the draft goes off the rails here, Jordan. And we have been wanting to talk about the Pelicans all day. I don't, what the fuck are they doing? I don't get this.
All right, well, seven is Jeremiah Fears, so I wouldn't say this is quite off the rails yet. I mean, it's a little off the rails because you
It's a
got
little bit.
what? You got Poole, Fears, and DeJounte Murray, three ball dominant guys who could be accused of, you know, shooting it a little bit too more
Not to mention Jordan Hawkins off the bench.
than you would like them to. Yeah. I mean, I like Jeremiah Fears as like an upside swing as a star bet. I think he's gonna be able to score. I think I'm
Wait,
more
hold on, hold on,
optimistic.
hold on. You like him as a star bet? What do you mean by that?
I think he has star upside.
Really?
Yeah, he absolutely does.
I am not there with him. I do not like Jeremiah Fears very much. I think like he's like swagged out, which is sick as fuck. And I like that he gets to the rim and I like his handle. The guy can't shoot the basketball and kind of never has been able to. And
Yeah.
he's small and he's extremely
I
undersized and he
mean,
can't defend.
the sentence I was going to say is I'm more optimistic about the jump shot than other people. I just think he's going to have a mid-range pull-up, and whether or not he becomes a knockdown three-point shooter is going to be the big swing factor. But I think he's got good mechanics, and I think, you know, there's a lot of shots that he had a lot on him at Oklahoma. Like, I don't know. I think shooting is also really hard to predict. Like, if he gets with a good shooting coach and just works his butt off, I don't think there's any reason to believe that he just can't become a good shooter. But yeah,
The Celtics just drafted Noah Penda from France.
Oh, I like Penda. You don't like Penda?
Oh, no, I really wanted the fucking bigs. I don't know what we're doing.
I mean,
What?
I
Go to
think
Penda real
Penda,
quick.
like, kind of what?
Yeah, explain Penda for me a little bit.
I just think he slid a little bit. I thought he could have easily gone in the first round. He's a good defender. I think again, like this is Brad taking a guy who his best trait is probably his feel. Like he just sees the game at a really high level. He's always in the right spots defensively. He's a good passer at that size. He's not like a creator. He's not gonna blow by guys. He doesn't have like this amazing handle, but he's got a good enough handle to put it on the floor and make reads. And he's just got really solid passing feel. And I'm pretty optimistic again about the jumper. Like he shot it, I have it right here. He shot it 34%, but it's on really high volume. So, not a super high ceiling guy, but he's a good passer, and I think he's going to be a good defender. I don't think he's going to be, you know, a super important part of the rotation, but I like Penda as a prospect, maybe not the best fit for the Celts.
Our the center we have on fucking roster right now is Xavier Tillman. That's it. And
Yeah, I
Kata.
mean, we better get Cornette and Horford to sign that paper, man.
Oh my god, dude. Yeah, like you they we bitch about the second apron, and the way that you fight the second apron is you fucking get like you draft good rookies and then you have them on the rookie scale contract. So if we're even in the fear that like there's definitely a market for Al Horford and there's definitely a market for Cornette. What if we lose out on those guys? And even if we sign both of them, I'm sorry, no, neither of those guys are starting centers long term.
No, definitely not long term, but I mean,
So what? Like I don't understand not drafting a fucking
maybe we're
center yet.
tanking. Maybe we want a lottery pick. Who knows?
Ah, oh, this is. I believe in Brad. I believe in Brad. I'm just gonna say that. But he, I know he's had a lot of bad draft picks in the last few years, so that's why he hasn't had a high hit rate on draft picks. But I'm gonna need to see some fucking hits here soon, man, because this is frustrating. I'm
Yeah.
frustrated. I don't love that pick. Cool. But that was a great synopsis on Penda. Shout out to you for having that ready somehow. That was very impressive. And I cut you off during Jeremiah Fears' talk. You said you were his mechanics were good. You weren't super scared about the jump shot.
No, I would say like the thing that worries me is, and I heard Sam Vecenie talk about it, is small guards just aren't don't seem like the way of the future in the NBA. And like we watched Darius Garland this year, who's an incredible basketball player, get picked on in the playoffs. And
Yeah.
Vecenie was talking about like Garland is incredible, but I don't know if you can win a championship with Garland as your, you know, second best player or whatever you think he is on the Cavs as a starter. So it just gets like, even if Fears hits his upside, right? Is that even worth it to take a small guard who maybe becomes a star, but does having a star small guard even get you that far? Like, so I kind of am understanding of that argument, and I am worried about that. Also, like for the Pels, I didn't get it. I don't get taking a swing on a guy who you really want to give a lot of touches to and let develop and let, you know, have the green light a little bit. Again, bringing him to a team with Poole and DeJounte. Obviously, Zion's going to get his shots. Like, they have so many guys there. Trey Murphy. Fears is going to be what, the ninth man in this, like,
Yeah.
10th man in this rotation. So that didn't make a ton of sense to me.
Okay. Let's go now. I honestly don't have too much to say about Colin Murray-Boyles either. I think we both liked him.
You
He's a
skipped
very
eight.
all-around guy. Oh, excuse me. This one, we do have a lot to fucking say here. This was the start of the Nets disaster class. Did you agree that the Nets five picks were rough?
Worst draft class of the night. I mean, worst,
Easily.
like,
And he had
so
the most
bad.
shots at it, the most opportunities, and they were just like, yeah, fuck it, I'll take all the guys that are just like, eh, fuck them, we'll figure it out here. So they start with Yegor Demin, right? A guy who doesn't have a ton going for him. He's a great passer. He has great size. Can't score. Can't defend. Is not the most athletic.
Not the
Definitely
most
would have been
athletic.
available later, way later than eight. And you had five fucking picks that you could have, if you really loved him, moved up with, or waited for him to drop. Like, who are you bartering against for Yegor Jemin? I don't see it. I don't get this move.
I think there was some buzz about him going later in the lottery, but again, like you had other picks that you probably could have packaged to trade up or slash trade back if you were gonna use eight to trade back. I hate it. I just don't like him as a prospect. I don't think that a guy who can't separate and create, or a guy that's not that athletic, even though he's 6'9" and a really good passer, it doesn't matter if you're a good passer if you can't draw any help, if you can't get by a guy, if you have no sort of self-creation. So
His
I'm
comp was
like,
literally like his comp was literally like if Josh Giddey made less layups, and it's like, well, then that's not a good
I
basketball
think he's
player.
much less athletic than Josh Giddey.
Yes,
Josh
he
Giddey
is.
doesn't have much of like this super shifty bag, but he has like
He's
a decent
quick.
first step. He can
Yeah.
get into the paint. I don't see Yegor being able to do that. He's 6'9", 200. Like, I think he's gonna get bumped off his spot every time he drives. I'm kind of curious to watch because he is like a fun watch when he makes those crazy passes. So again, like, I'm gonna give him a shot, and I'm gonna watch the Nets, and I'm gonna be like, all right, let's see it, Yegor. Like, show me something. But I don't have a ton of optimism that he's gonna show a whole lot. So
Yeah,
he also
crazy
can't
pick
shoot.
that he can't shoot. Yeah, so it's
He
just
literally
like
can't shoot a lick.
he's good at literally passing, and he's tall for he's a tall point guard. He's good at passing
And he's a
and doing other
target on
things.
defense. So.
Yeah, so bad pick there. Rockets, or excuse me, Raptors. Colin Murray-Boyles, very all around good player. I think we both like him. I think he fits in nicely with what they've got going on. I really like that they added like a defensive minded guy. Who fits in well with just what the Raptors have going on? I think this was a really good pick, and I really like this pick.
Yeah, there's a lot of smart people that think Colin Murray-Boyles was the best big in this draft. I thought Malwatch was the best big, but when I say big, I'm not including Flag, by the way. But
Yeah.
I really like Colin Murray-Boyles. I mean, incredible defender, can basically guard 1 through 5, just super switchable, fast, strong. Offensively, he's a good passer. I think he can become a pretty good driver, but. I mean, I like it. I probably would have gone Malawatch, but
Me too.
we
I would have gone
saw
Malwatch.
we saw Malawach go at the next pick to the Suns, which I thought was a great pick, obviously, in major need of a center.
So a couple things. First, Zion James just got drafted by Charlotte, the guy out of Duke, Con Kimple's teammate. He came in off the bench and really started blowing it up, and actually ended up starting some games. I really like Zion James. I thought like his shooting is incredible, and I love this pick for Charlotte. Like I just think getting some connectivity between, the guy that you took number four, like, and being in the same state. It's just cool. Like that was a really cool pick. I like that pick. Yes. So this trade, so this draft, this pick, excuse me, the Rockets via this, or the Suns via the Rockets draft Common Malawach. Great pick for them. I was like, this is great. This is a great pick. I love this pick. And then Mark Williams has been traded to the Phoenix Suns for number 29. I think to myself, okay, not a bad trade. And then I scroll to the bottom of the tweet and I go, they included a fucking pick. They included a first round pick with this. Like, what are we doing? What are they doing?
I mean, I think they're trying to compete. I think they're trying to still be good, which I don't know why you would, but they got two good centers. I mean, two first rounders for Mark Williams is just far too much. The guy, I really like him when he plays. He doesn't play. He has a serious injury concern. You mentioned it earlier, Charlotte wanting to shop him multiple times. Like, he's a young center that they drafted and have had in-house, and they're like, hey, does anybody want this guy? Like, we really are trying to get rid of him, and they need centers. So that should tell you something. Again, like, for the Suns, on paper, they got better as a basketball team, so I guess you can say that, but it's just a confusing direction that they're choosing.
This is a team that doesn't have first to throw around like this, and then they fucking throw a first round. That could be that's oh man. And then not to mention, like, with the 29th pick, you could get a big. I don't understand why the teams are passing on the bigs right now, but they are. And you literally could have gotten a big if you wanted to get another big with the 29th pick. Like, I don't understand what they're doing here. I don't wa get why they attached a first instead of doing a couple of seconds or something like that. Like, I don't think Charlotte would have balked if you fucking didn't attach the first. I feel like you could have got, like, I just don't get that move. I don't understand it. Mark Williams doesn't see the fucking floor. He's a great mentor to Malawach. Like, I think Malawach is gonna be awesome. You and I agree. I loved hearing from him. I thought it was like such an emotional interview, and I think having watched him play, like, he has so much room to grow and develop. He hasn't been playing the game since he was like, or he hasn't been playing the game since he's like 14. Like, he still has so much room to develop and grow. But and Mark Williams is gonna be a great mentor in that respect. But Mark Williams is also young and doesn't fucking see the floor. I don't get giving up this first round pick. It doesn't make sense to me.
No, I totally agree. It's far too much for Mark Williams. All right. Pick number 11 was really interesting. The Grizzlies moved up to grab Cedric Coward, who got a ton of draft hype after the college season ended, just flew up draft boards when people really dug into the film on him. I know you were really high on him. You must have loved this pick.
This is one of my favorite picks of the night. I gave this is like an A plus 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 pick. Cedric Coward, he only played six games in Div 1 because he got hurt. In those six games, he was awesome. He came from Div 3. I don't think he had like any offers coming out of high school, and he just was a fucking killer. Worked his way up. He looked amazing. He had a season-ending injury. So he was at Wazoo or what, however the fuck you say it. And then obviously now is taken with the 11th pick in the draft. So great story there. He just feels like a Memphis player, and the fact that Memphis moved up to get him makes me think he's gonna be fucking awesome. The guy can score at will. He like picks how he wants to score on you. He's got a super high motor. He's got these super broad fucking shoulders. He's a big guy. He's like 6'5". He's like a really good athlete. He's not like the top level athletic, but he's a very solid athlete. The jumper looks nice. I just loved his motor, his competitiveness, and his ability to score at will. And also, he cares a lot on the defensive end, and that's something that I love personally watching. So I thought this was a great move for the Grizzlies here. I know they give away a first, which I just freaked out at the Suns for, but it was one of the a million firsts that they got for Desmond Bane, and it's honestly not a great first. So I'm okay with you giving that away to go get your guy, and then they attach like some seconds, and I don't care about that. So I love this pick here. I thought this was a great trade and a great pick.
Yeah, definitely reasonable price to pay to move up. Just to clear it up, he did play 3 years in Division One. He only played six games at Washington State, high major
Gotcha.
Division One. So he played at Eastern Washington, which is, a lower major school. But coming into the draft, like again, I wasn't a guy grinding tape, just kind of a YouTube highlights blink test. Probably spent, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes watching this guy. I didn't love him. I thought he was getting a little bit overrated, just because of the competition, because I don't think he's going to be a creator in the league. I don't think he's going to be using the post game that you saw so much of, in his college days. I do think he's a good shooter. I like the wingspan. I like the movement shooting. I like the release. I think, you know, he's got really high feel. I do worry about the handle again. So it's like, if you're drafting him thinking he's going to, you know, be some sort of creator or star in the future, I don't see that, but I do think I see a pretty solid role player. Like you said, not an amazing athlete, but a good enough athlete to be a really solid defender, especially with that wingspan. And everybody talks about the shoulders. Like, I've never heard like draft people talk about somebody's shoulders so much. They're like, when he
They're
fills
massive.
out this frame, when he adds this muscle, he's gonna be a fucking beast. So, I'm excited to watch him. I mean, again, I'm more than happy to be wrong about him with my YouTube highlights blink test thing. So, I think, you know, probably a good pick for Memphis. Maybe I'm just not seeing what everybody else saw in terms of the ceiling. All right, let's take a quick break and we will come right back. Coming back, a couple things happened while we were gone. We realized that the Celtics did not draft Noah Penda. The Orlando Magic actually traded for him. They traded 46, 57, and a 26 second rounder and a 27 second rounder. So max 4 second round picks essentially for one. Obviously the one being the earlier one, pick 32. But yeah, interesting stuff going on with our Celtics in Brad We Trust, I guess. What do you think?
I guess we, Brad, we trust. I'm sorry. I take it back. I don't know. I will see. He's gonna get a big. Please, just get a fucking big. I don't even care who it is at this point. I just need a center, please.
Also, the Hornets grabbed Ryan Cockbrenner. So I am loving this Hornets draft all
Me
around.
too.
I didn't get to talk about James. Dude is a tank and shoots it really well. So like, there's a chance that he's just a late round or late draft like great role player. There's a real upside with him. So, and on top of that, like they're just getting shooting. Like they draft McNeely, they draft Knipple, they draft James. So they're combining shooting with LaMelo and Miller's star power, and now they get Cockbrenner, a good big after trading Mark Williams, a guy that we both wanted the Celtics to draft. The guy is huge. He's pretty athletic for that size. Great rebounder. So, Charlotte, I like it.
Good job, Charlotte. Okay, Bulls don't like it. I don't like Noah Sengay.
This was the guy in the draft that I disliked the most. I think we were both totally on the same page about this. There are so many smart draft people that I don't understand having him so high up on their boards. Like, the only real special skill that I see with him is his movement at about 6'10, 200 pounds, but he has no offensive game, can't shoot at a lick. And he can't, re like, he's not a vertical athlete. He's not going to be a rim protector. He's switchable, but that's really all I see. I don't see any sort of offensive bag. Obviously, he's super young. He's 18 and a half. So maybe it's just, you know, all right, let's get the coaches with this guy and we'll develop an offensive game. A guy that moves that well at that size, like, you know, you can see a whole lot of upside with that age, but I don't see it.
I don't see it either. That's a lot of betting on his jumper coming together here, and I don't see that happening. I mean, he's got, you know, some tools, right? He has, with his size, I guess he has potential defensively. He could be like a kind of a toolsy guy if he develops, but I don't know if he has the small versions of those tools in his toolbox yet. So I don't know. Like, if we think, I don't know. This is a lot of projection here, and I just don't see, I don't see it. But I also didn't put in as much time in this, so I guess maybe I missed something here. But it's a lot of falling down, and it's not good shot, like no shot making at all,
We have to be
really.
missing something. Like, it's that
Yeah.
simple. You just must have to spend more time watching his tape and really digging into it, because neither of us saw it at all.
Could it just be that, like, he's 6'9", 6'10", and, you know, 194 pounds. And I think it's just the sizeism thing where it's just like he is the ideal size for like a forward if he adds weight to his frame.
Yeah,
Is
I
that what it
mean,
is?
I think so. And, you know, he's got a decent first step, I guess. I don't know. Can maybe become a good downhill attacker, and he's super young. I think teams do really like when guys are that young, even if they're super raw, they're willing to take swings on it. But I mean, we don't have much to say about him. We
No.
just don't know enough, and we didn't like him enough. So
Yes.
All right, pick 13, Max. You take it away.
Yeah, so we see like that the Pelicans trade up, right? And we're like, okay, I like it. I like the idea of like Derek Queen. He's funky and weird, and he probably would have gone. I mean, I don't know where he would have gone because if you look at the next few teams that are picking, I just don't see him going any of those teams. Maybe at 18 to the Wizards. Maybe they think another team is going to trade up and get him, whatever. So I see that they trade up for him. I'm like, that's cool. I like that move. And I was like, oh wait, what's the actual trade here? A 2026 fucking first unprotected? Are you serious right now? That's the fucking move. What are the Pelicans doing, man? First off, he doesn't fit really, like, at all. I think he is a really interesting player, but he's a tweener position wise. Doesn't play a lick of defense. I'm not super sold on that jumper. He's a good facilitator, a very fun passer, but he's immature. And now he's getting sent to New Orleans with Zion, another guy who's has a lot of warts as well. And then you have the potential, you're in a loaded West. You have the potential to be really bad, and you trade away your own pick unprotected. What is Joe Dumars doing? I don't understand this move.
No. I was happy to see Derek Queen's name called. I like Queen as a prospect. This is completely reckless and stupid to trade unprotected first round pick in this loaded of a Western Conference, like you said. There's a chance they miss the play-in and are like a bottom 5 to 8 team in basketball. So I do not understand
Or
trading
trade
that pick.
Zion.
I mean, if you trade Zion, it wouldn't make any sense. That's what I thought they were doing
Yeah.
originally, because I was like, why would you draft Fears and move up for Queen? But then I saw they gave up the 26th pick and I was or the 2026 pick, and I was like, well, now they can't trade Zion because there's no reason for them to be bad now. They must really believe in these two rookies. But this is one of the strangest rosters now in the NBA. They go literally like 12 to 13 guys deep if you include the two rookies and a bunch of guys who need the ball. There's just not enough basketballs to go around. I mean, they're the number one league pass team for me. No doubt. Like I am so excited to watch how this all fits together, if it's ugly, if it's a mess, or on the nights when it's fun and it's good. Like I can't wait regardless, because I like so many of these players individually. I think it's a really strange fit, and they have now so much pressure on them to really win games, because if they have a really bad season, then this pick in this move is going to get looked on, for years to come as like one of the worst moves that we've ever seen.
And they need rim protection. Like Yves Missi is serviceable, but he's not an elite rim protector
No,
yet. And he's not
he's
the
not.
anchor of a defense at all. And I don't get adding Derek Queen, whose biggest question mark is his defense and the fact that he's 6'9 and like two. I think he's six. He was listed at 6'9, 248. So the comparable measurements are two also tweeners, Alperen Sengun, who's 6'11, 243, and Julius Randle, who's 6'9, 249. Both of those guys have different builds than him. And now Alperen has similar footwork. Like Derek Queen's footwork is elite. His passing is very, very good. His vision's very, very good. He also like needs the ball in his hands too.
Yeah.
So you're throwing him in there with Jeremiah Fears, who needs the ball in his hands to be productive, with Jordan Poole, with DeJounte, and with Zion. Like what are like I don't understand this team building.
Yeah, no. Also, conditioning. They're drafting
Yes.
a guy who is a bit out of shape and hasn't really taken that commitment to really working on his body and getting in the best shape that he can possibly be in, and you're bringing him into a place where it's really hard to do that, by all accounts. And Zion has been, the example of that. So not only do I not think Queen and Zion fit together on the court, but it also might not be the best having another guy who has weight concerns, like if we're just being totally honest about it, in that city where it just doesn't seem to work out for those type of guys. But
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, time will tell. What if Queen's awesome? So who knows?
I mean, yes, but it's still a swing, and you need him to be awesome to make this trade make sense.
You need your
And it
team
can't
to
be.
win games to make it
Yeah,
make sense.
absolutely. Next pick, we talked about this guy a lot already, but Carter Bryant to the Spurs, another A plus plus plus. Just we love what the Spurs do, man. We love the draft. They just wait for other teams to be fucking stupid and then just clean up the mess there. Yeah, Carter Bryant's going to fit awesomely here. This team doesn't have a lick of shooting, but they're fun and I like them a lot.
Yeah, Carter Bryant, any team that's trying to be decent, I think was going to be a great pick for. And the Spurs get him at 14. Like, I thought he could have gone easily earlier, top 10 even. He's super athletic. He can shoot the ball. He works his ass off, high motor, perfect guy to pair with all this, star power and creation and offense. And he adds to the defense. So, yeah, just one of my favorite players in the draft, maybe my favorite player in the draft. One of the best picks of the night. It's just perfect. There's nothing else you can say about it. Another pick we loved was pick
Yeah, A
15,
plus
Thomas
plus.
Sorber to the Thunder.
I hate it because I love it so much. Sorber is just perfect. Like we talked about how Hartenstein was kind of like played off the floor as the center, as a backup center or starting center for the Thunder. Just he couldn't stretch the floor enough for them, and he just wasn't capable of giving them the minutes that they needed. Sorber is a gigantic human being like Hartenstein, except he can shoot the basketball. And it's just, of course they get this guy. Like, of course he's just going to be able to sit there for a few years and kind of develop and get better. And then Hartenstein's contract, like, either when they start be to become expensive and they need to cut costs, they immediately just have Thomas Sorber to walk right in and take over. And it's so frustrating, and I hate it. But yeah, Sorber, he's also a little bit of a tweener. He's 6'9", 263 though, just a unit, a massive man. I think he's a little bit taller than 6'9" when you watch him play. He's just fucking awesome. Just an elite defender, and he's kind of like I've seen him close to like mock similarly to Jabari Smith Jr. or like Onyeka Okongwu in terms of like size. But yeah, he's got all the fundamentals for the NBA, and he was really good at scoring the basketball and rebounding and blocking and just being a fucking awesome player. So I this was just a great pick by OKC.
Yeah, he's an absolute unit of a human being, 6'10", 263-ish. Just a massive presence in the paint, and he's got freakishly long arms. I think he's got a 7'6" wingspan. He's gonna be a good defender. He's not like an incredible vertical athlete, but that wingspan at 6'10", his standing reach is insane. He's going to be able to protect the rim at a reasonable rate. And then, yeah, I mean, he's, like you said, with Hartenstein. Hartenstein seems like he's going to be the odd man out in terms of who they pay. So when Hartenstein ends up walking away, or if that happens, like, it's so awesome to have Sorber just step right into that role. Another guy who is a pretty high feel player, unselfish player. I love it. I mean, you mentioned that he can shoot. He shot it 72% from the line. So if you're optimistic about that, fine. But he barely took any threes, 1.5 threes a game, only shot it at 16%. So I don't know if they're relying on him to be like a true stretch big. If that happens, great. But I think it's more an awesome rebounder, hopefully a good defender, and just a big body, a good screener, another center to add to a team that needs rebounding and size and center depth. So just, yeah, Thunder nailed it. All right. Here was a massive surprise. I have not watched a second of this guy's
Me neither.
tape. Hanson Yang to the Blazers at pick 16.
Oh, you gave this to me. I haven't watched a second. I was the team that I literally would be like, this is the last team that we think is going to draft a fucking center right now. Drafts trades up. Well, not actually, they trade back, excuse me. And then drafts a center at 16 when there's just way better players available. I don't know what they're doing. I don't get this pick at all. They said they've been scouting him for 2 years, I guess. I think he would have dropped, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they have five centers, so not sure exactly how many minutes he's going to be getting, but yeah, I mean, we can't say anything about him. We haven't watched him, so
Yeah.
shocking pick, but looking forward to seeing what he's got. Let's
They're
see
calling
it,
him
Yang.
Chinese Jokic. I had to watch a few clips to see, you know, what they're talking about. I don't see the Jokic aspect really, but I do see like he's fun. He's a fun player. Like he gets to the rim in a fun way. He's kind of mesmerizing to watch, I will say. He's very big. So, fun pick.
All right, pick 17 was Johan Berenguer from France, right? This guy was the rawest prospect in the draft by far. He's, again, super young, 18 and a half, 6'10", 230. He's got real upside as a defender, as a rim protector. I'm seeing Clint Capela, Nerlens Noel comps. I don't hate him as a prospect in a vacuum, but for the Wolves, kind of strange, right? To take a super, project big rather than going for a guy who they think can help right away. But I don't totally hate it. I mean, it's a super raw guy going to a team that needs a win now piece, I feel like.
The Spurs just did it again. They took Cam Jones, who I fucking love. He
Everybody
was
loves him.
such
Haven't heard a bad
Spurs are
word
just
about him.
incredible.
Oh, Lakers
I
got
love him.
Thero. That's interesting. I kind of like him.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought he was, so that pick is interesting because it was so it was the Nets via the Suns via the Wolves to the Lakers, if that makes sense.
Oh, good. Yeah, no, that's easy.
So that pick got traded like three or four times today. Also, shout out Chaz Lanier, who just got drafted. Yes. So on the topic of Joan Berenger, Baron J, excuse me, excuse my French. Pretty funny there. He is, I think they're trying to have him. It seems like almost like a draft and stash kind of guy. I guess they are bringing him over, but he's sort of like the replacement in essence for like Rudy Gobert or Naz Reid. He's extremely raw, so I don't know why they think that's a great idea to do this right now. I didn't get this pick, Jordan. I'll be honest with you. I don't really get why they did this one.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, again, haven't watched enough to totally have an opinion on it, but have watched enough of this guy, Walter Clayton Jr.,
Yes.
a shot-making stud, goes to the Jazz. I like it a lot. Clayton's a guy who can play off the ball. They obviously have Keontae George, who they give the absolute green light to. They got Sexton there still. They have other guys that can create for them and have the ball in their hands. Clayton can be a creator if you need him to, but I really like him off the ball as, attacking in second side actions, movement shooting, and just doing what he does. He's a you know he played 4 years in college, 22 years old, plays the right way, and can really wow you with the shot making. So excited to watch him.
I'm glad you like him off the ball because he's going to be fighting for some damn touches. I don't think he's going to have the ball too much in his hands down there in Utah. There's going to be a lot of guys fighting for that ball. I like Walter Clayton Jr. I'm happy that he got drafted at 18. Like that's really high, especially like he clearly rose after his performance in the tournament. Absolute sniper, hit some of the biggest shots all tournament. Just was not afraid of the spotlight and afraid of the moment. He's an awesome player. And I just think it's funny. Like Jazz are going to be must view TV for me. I think it's going to be really fun to watch this mess because I don't really get what they're building, and it's a lot of guys that need the ball in their hands. So excited to see how that works out. The Nets draft Nolan Traore, just another reach. Like what are we doing? I don't get this.
I don't know. I didn't watch him, but everybody I've seen is like, why did they take eight or five ball handlers or whatever? And
Yeah.
first of all, Bob Myers the whole night was talking about there's no way they're going to use all five of these picks. Like, they got to consolidate. But they end up using all five of them and taking five guys who all handle the ball. So they're just kind of throwing darts and hoping one of these guys becomes a legit creator. I don't know anything about Traore, so I'm not going to say anything bad about him.
Well, I know that like he was supposed to be a top pick this year, like earlier in the year. He was kind of like higher up on big boards. He slowly kind of dropped here. He's a 6'5" guard. He's like 175 pounds. He doesn't play in like the greatest tier of French basketball, I guess. I think he's in like the second or third tier. So he's not like there's questions about his competition and things like that. He's got like a ton of athleticism. He's like apparently from what I've heard, and from what I've seen, I haven't spent like too much time deep diving him, but from what I've heard, it sounds like he's just kind of like all around good player. He's just kind of like not elite at anything, but kind of has like this all around good player movement to him. But he also needs the ball in his hand. So I don't, like you said, everything the Nets did made no sense to me. Especially when this guy, Kasper Saksun, is on the fucking board and they just let him drop to the Heat. And of course, the Heat just get another steal in the draft. Another, like, there's questions about him, right? Where he's not an elite athlete. Probably he's not going to be able to get around too many people, but he's a really good ball handler. He's a very solid shooter. He's something. And it would have made more sense if the Nets, like, went after him than Nolan Traore, I guess. But just kind of
Yeah.
taking shots in the dark here. But I love this pick for the Heat, especially, like, kind of like Hawkeyes-ish in that way, where it's just like this guy has experience, he's got his limitations, but he's a smart basketball player, and we're betting on his brain and like what he can end up being, right?
Yeah, I mean, really high field player, great passer. Like you said, I don't think he's going to be an amazing, scorer or like be cooking guys one on one as your lead creator. But as a secondary ball handler, I really like him, and he's got good size, 6'5", 205. Sam Vecenie, who pours his life into the draft, had him mocked at 7, and he falls all the way to 20
Wow.
to the Heat. So, yeah, I think it's a good pick. Not a good pick, in our opinion, was his teammate in college, Will Riley, who goes to the Wizards. This is a guy who I just don't know if he's an NBA player. Like, he is super raw. His thing is that he's huge and he handles and he can move. The idea is that he's like got this, weird herky jerky stop start stuff at that size, and he should be able to get to the rim and finish, but I don't think he's got a great handle. He's definitely not a good athlete. Like, I don't
No,
think this is an
no.
NBA athlete, and he doesn't have the size to like put his shoulder into guys or use any sort of strength. He's 6'9", 186. So I don't see it with Riley as a prospect, but if there was a place for him to go, I think the Wizards is a reasonable place where he's going to be, thrown into the fire with all these other young guys, and he's gonna get a chance to develop. Even if I don't think he's got a great shot to do it.
Yeah, I mean, he was like a bench player on Illinois too. So it's like,
Yeah.
if he was that good to be taken in the first round, why is he not starting? Like, I don't get this. But yeah, man, I just he's got to put some weight on that frame, and even then, there's like a lot of attributes that he's gonna need to tighten up here in order to really make an impact.
Yeah.
I guess if you're
Again, can't
Washington
shoot.
though, yeah. And I guess if you're Washington though, you can throw some fucking darts at the board here and see what hits. So, yeah, kind of a meh pick.
Upside swing.
Upside swing here. We don't need to go. I say we start doing these like three at a time because I know my watching kind of tailed off around here in terms of prospects. Drake Powell though, want to give a quick minute to him. The
Yeah, I
Nets
love
take
Drake
him.
Powell.
Yes.
Again, like Sam Vecenie had him, I think, mocked at 34. I think the Ringer had him at 30. This was a guy who I watched and felt really strongly would go earlier than those mocks had him. Like, incredible athlete, 6'6", 200 pounds, 43-inch vertical, had the highest vertical at the combine, and came into this season as with kind of a lot of expectations on him to be a creator. He was not that at all. He definitely didn't show much self-creation, but I see a guy who, at that size, with that athleticism, with a 7-foot wingspan, I think he's going to be a really good defender. He shot it, I think, at 37 or 38% from three. So I think this is, you're looking at a really good bet to be a good high-level role player in the league. And the creation aspect, I don't see a ton of it, but it's not like he can't put it on the floor and hit a pull-up jumper, because that's what he came in to be, is a guy who could put it on the floor. So we didn't see a ton of it, but I'm really optimistic about him as an off-ball player and as a guy who has a chance to, I think, be an incredible defender. Now, again, like, I'm not watching a ton of him, so when you only watch, 20, 25 minutes of a guy, you can totally get the wrong impression if you watch the wrong stuff. But I thought this was the Nets' best pick by far of the night. I honestly would have liked to see him go to a better team.
I agree with you on that point. I watched a little bit more of him just because I watched UNC. I'm actually wearing my UNC shirt right now, but I watched a lot of UNC, and they like desperately needed someone to be the guy. And there was a lot of times where he did step up, but there was also a lot of times where he just was kind of not there. And he was kind of like 50-50 on whether or not he would show up, and that was frustrating. He's not like a score at will type guy. He's just got a really high motor, which I really like. And when he's like up for it, and like he has a high motor. I'm not saying he's not up for it all the time, but when he's like locked the fuck in and going off, he plays really, really well, and he's super fun to watch. He's kind of a freak in terms of like his competitiveness. So
Yeah, love it.
I think it was hard being on that UNC team that was like that was a tough watch a lot of the night. So I agree with you. Like, I wish he wasn't on the Nets because this team sucks, and clearly they don't know what they're doing with team building. So, I'd love this pick. Asa Newell out of Georgia, the Hawks take him. He was a guy that was like high on their board, and they were able to kind of drop back and make that by fleecing the Pelicans and get him in. Guy's interesting. He's kind of another tweener guy, kind of a forward, but he can't shoot. But he's really good at like mid range and just hits layups. He torched Tennessee. I think he had like 30 against Tennessee this year when he was at Georgia. So I watched him do that. He kicked our ass. He was supposed to be like a pretty high pick when he was projected up, but just never really got that shot. And again, just being kind of that tweener, like a 6'9" guy who doesn't shoot. There's some questions about him, but he is a good pick for them. And then Nick Clifford is like another just all around great player, and the Kings actually made a good pick. That was a good one. So, any thoughts on those last two guys?
Yeah, didn't watch much of Asa, so I'll leave that alone. But Nick Clifford is a guy that so many people that I trust absolutely love because of the high feel, because he is a guy at that size who can handle and make shots, but he also is a really willing and good passer. He can, take defenders off the dribble and make plays. And it just seems like everybody loves him as like this plug and play guy, older guy, 23 years old. So maybe, a reason why he fell a little bit. But yeah, I'm excited to watch him.
Yeah, just think it was straight ageism why he fell. And then the next three are kind of fun. Jace Richardson, who's way too small, but is a probably like one of the best shooters in the class for a team that desperately needs shooting in the Magic. I really like that pick for them, especially with his dad, Jason, having all that background experience with the Magic in the past. So I like that pick there. Ben Saraf out of like Israel, he is another guy who's just really ball dominant, and he needs the ball in his hands, is a ball handler. 6'6", 201, sort of like, I don't really know, like he's a good playmaker. He's a really good passer. He has good reads. He just likes to get to the rim a lot, like attack the rim. He needs to become a better shooter, just both from the mid-range and 3-point line, but he just needs the fucking ball in his hands. Like, I don't get what the Nets are doing, especially with the next pick and Danny Wolfe, who has one of the strangest like skill sets, where he's a 7-foot point guard, and he's fun to watch, but he's definitely unique. So you literally drafted five guys that need the ball in their hands. Pause on that, obviously. And so it's just kind of weird. But what do you think those
Yeah,
three?
Danny Wolfe, I think both of us were pretty excited about watching
Yeah.
where he went, and I'm really upset that he went to a draft class where there's going to be so many other guys that get the ball in their hands. I mean, it's the Nets, so you would think he's going to have enough chances to create plays and be who he is. But yeah, this draft class as a whole doesn't make sense. Four guys who need the ball in their hands, as well as D'Angelo Russell on the roster, obviously older guys on the roster.
And Cam Thomas.
Yeah, Cam Thomas, like it's just I don't know if this is where I would have wanted Wolf to go. But yeah, nothing to add on Saraf. I do really like the Jace pick. I thought he could have gone higher. He's an incredible shooter. The Magic really need shooting. And the big question about Jace is, will he be able to defend at that size? And the Magic are not in need of defenders. So if that's a problem, like there's, reason to believe that if Jace develops into what he should be, which is a really good shooter, a guy who can play both on and off the ball. A guy who can attack closeouts and make plays for other guys, who should just be a really good offensive player if he hits his ceiling. If that happens and he is a weak link on defense like we think he's going to be, obviously the Magic can cover that up with the rest of their size and the way they've drafted and built this team over the course of the years. So I think this is an excellent pick and an excellent fit. I'm excited to watch Jace develop. Hopefully in a couple of years he's able to crack that rotation. I don't know if it'll be right away because they're going to be really good. All right, now
Yeah.
Max,
Oh.
why don't you let loose on old Brad? He
Okay.
took Hugo Gonzalez from Real Madrid.
I don't see this, but Brad is smarter than me. I think maybe someone was gonna, I guess, reach on Hugo, and the Celtics were like, why not be us? And then they can, I guess, keep trading back. And I don't want to jinx it right now, but let's just say the people that were want to fall are falling so far. So hopefully Brad, I think Brad knows what he's doing. I just like I at work today, I watched a bunch of Hugo Gonzalez, and the guy plays super fucking hard. He's super locked in. I don't think he's good at any aspects of the game other than maybe like getting to the rim. And I'm seeing a lot of people say the same thing. Like he's not really good at too much, except for that he has a super high motor. He plays super hard, and he gets to the fucking rim.
Best thing I've seen people say about him is that he fits the Celtics culture, which is a guy who hustles and makes good decisions with the ball. other than that, yeah, there's not like a ton of standout traits. Like high motor is the standout trait, I think. But yeah, again, didn't watch a ton of him. Brad's smarter than us. I'm gonna be locked into summer league. Locked in.
Me too. Locked in, especially if we end up actually making the last two picks in the second here, or the
Yeah.
two picks in the second that we have. Okay, and then Liam McNeely.
Lee McNeely to the Hornets. So
Yes,
the
go ahead.
Hornets just going full shooting, like LaMelo,
Yeah.
Miller, McNeely, Knipple, really leaning into the 3-point revolution, gonna struggle on defense. Again, like another guy who's gonna make this team really fun to watch. Had a bit of an underwhelming season at UConn for what he was supposed to be, but I love McNeely as a prospect. A guy at that size who shoots it that well, who can handle, who's really big and strong. He's 6'7", 215. Like there's a reason he was a really high recruit. Again, like I didn't watch the college games, so I don't know like what exactly the problem was, but I watch him and I see a guy who can compete at an NBA level in terms of physicality and size, and a guy who can really shoot it. So I'm excited for him.
Yeah, I'm really excited for him too. I think a lot of people were confused as to why he slipped as well. He's just kind of an all around guy. He's an absolute fucking lunatic on the floor, as most of those guys that play for Danny Hurley's program up in Connecticut are. Elite shooter. Him and Jace and others are like the better shooters in the class here. So
Trey, yeah.
totally agree. And then it's funny, like there you mentioned, you've even forgot like Trey Mann on the Hornets. Like they just have all shooting. It's very funny. A lot of spacing, I guess. But yeah, Liam McNeely, like another good culture guy too. Like a guy that's gonna instantly mesh with Con and Brandon Miller, and then Zion James, who they just brought in as well. Like those guys are all dogs. Like I like the atmosphere that they're creating here, in Charlotte. And I actually think they kind of have like a college all-star team, which is super fun, and which I thought the fucking Nets would do with their five picks. We were laughing, it was gonna be like a college all-star team, but I guess that's in Charlotte instead of Brooklyn. And then the last guy, Jannik Konan Niederhauser.
I had never heard of him.
No, I didn't even know who he was.
Yeah, but I mean, some people like him, some people hated it. I have no idea.
I saw the video of him running and his head's like hitting the ceiling. So he's 6'11", 243. I saw him running like when he gets called, because he's sitting in the fucking crowd. Him and Hanson Yang are sitting in the crowd when they get drafted. Like they weren't expecting to be drafted, and they both have to like run down and get everything. So yeah, 6'11", 243. I don't know shit about him other than when I saw the little B-roll footage about him when they drafted him. He had a bunch of blocks. He had a lot of dunks, and he looked like he finished a lot of lobs. So fun, interesting pick there, but I don't know too much about him. And I think that I'm gonna venture to say that might have been a little bit of a reach there at 30, but you know what? Good for him for making it into the first round. Just a weird kind of reach for the Clippers, I guess, but who cares?
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading that he's an elite athlete who lives above the rim. That sentence alone kind of made me feel better about him. So
I'm excited. Yeah.
there you go.
Yeah. And he's going to be there. The wall can watch that happen. So a lot of fun there. Yeah. First round, man, ended up being super weird. Like a lot of players just got taken that we didn't think were going to be taken. So super weird, super fun draft so far.
I gotta
Please
be
say
honest,
it's perfect at center.
last year's draft class was obviously a super down year. This year wasn't like absolutely unbelievable, but it was like a pretty good draft class, and I am so excited for Summer League now. Like Summer
I
League
can't
last
wait.
year was so, like,
So
it was
bad.
boring. It was not fun to watch. I am excited to watch these guys duke it out over the summer and, you know, into their rookie season. So really
Yeah.
fun first round.
Yeah, and the Nets whole team is, it's like you get to just watch early Nets, basically. Like, oh, cool. Early Nets. Nice.
Oh, the Nets are playing in Summer League, huh?
Yeah, the full Nets team is playing in the summer league. Good, cool. Sick. Awesome. That's so fun to watch. Yeah, I can't wait to watch the Jeremiah Fears, Derek Queen start in for New Orleans in summer league. Like that's gonna be fun. Yeah, I can't wait for summer league. I love watching the draft here. Please, Celtics, get a fucking center. Please, God, please.
And Brad, we
I need
trust.
it. And Brad, we trust. All right. That's gonna do it for us here. We are going to reconvene with basketball related podcasts probably anytime after, like if there's any big trade, we will be doing a basketball podcast. If there is any big signing, we'll do one. I think we're definitely going to do one after free agency regardless. But any other than that, like that's the only one that we have actually planned. Other than that though, it's going to most likely be like emergency podcast if there are trades. So
There
we're
will
probably
be.
actually
We're
not going to
in a
there.
we're in for a busy summer, I think, honestly,
Yeah.
with
So I
free
do think
agency.
you're going to be hearing from us a good amount, but what you're most likely going to hear from us sooner is our movie podcast, The Recliner. So If you love movies like we do, Jordan and I are going to be breaking down a lot of fun films on the recliner. So please give that, like, check that out. That's a lot of fun. We're going to get that going for the summertime. But other than that, we'll be back with like any fun NBA stuff. But man, seriously, like, take a breather here. Like, what a season, man. We finished covering the season. What a season.
I know, we did it. Wow.
Yeah, we only missed a lot of episodes in between, but we did it.
It's all
So,
right.
shout out to us. But yeah, thank you all for listening. We love you all. If you're on YouTube, please like and subscribe and leave a comment. It helps us out so much. Share us with your friends. If you're on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get this podcast, please like and leave a 5-star review and a comment if you can. That also helps us, and sharing with your friends helps us the most. Thank you all for listening. We love you all, and peace.